Good morning, Poplar Springs. Good morning. That was better. It's good to see all of you here today. It's good to not see all of you who are at home staying safe as well. Glad to have you with us wherever you are. We just have two announcements today, and that is that Bible study for adults is in the sanctuary at 6 on Wednesday, and youth are meeting. We're meeting middle school first at 5:30 in the youth room, and high schoolers come in at 6:30, and we are switching out. We are still looking for people who are willing to come with us and cook dinner and make sandwiches for Caswell, and we are still in need of a male chaperone for the mission trip, so let your hearts be prepared for what God might say to you in the coming weeks. And a third announcement, because we felt bad that we only have two, this is from Andy. Church frog gigging and hog slopping next week at Andy's house in the East Wing. So, if that interests anybody, there you go. I don't think there's a lot of interest, so we can cancel that. We'll go ahead and cancel that. For the next few weeks, you'll notice that the prelude is after the announcements, and we want you to have time to prepare your hearts for worship. So, as Galia plays, be in prayer and be preparing your hearts for what God has to say today.
Thank you. when it feels like I'm slipping through your fingers. When the weight of my sin's too much to bear. When the enemy whispers that I'm still who I once was. Sweet Jesus, meet me there. Meet me in the struggle. Meet me in the fight. Meet me in the trouble of my darkest night. Walking through the valley of shadows everywhere. Sweet Jesus, would you meet me there? When I'm sure I'm forgotten and forsaken. When I find myself all alone and scared. When the chains of anxiety have brought me to my knees. Sweet Jesus, would you meet me there? Meet me in the struggle. Meet me in the fight. Meet me in the trouble of my darkest night. Walking through the valley of shadows everywhere. Jesus, would you meet me there? Even when it seems all hope is gone, please meet me there. When the arrows fly and the nights are long, please meet me there. My soul will not be downcast. I know you've never once ignored my. So meet me in the struggle, meet me in the fight, meet me in the trouble of my darkest night. Oh, walking through the valley of shadows everywhere, sweet Jesus, would you meet me there? Jesus, would you meet me there?
Good morning. I have a few prayer requests and an announcement and then a group activity for us. So, first of all, I want to say congratulations to Jesse and Christian Listo on their new baby girl, Ellie Elaine. And then two prayer requests, Sharon Hall, co-worker of Anna Hamrick. She's still dealing with some serious health conditions, and we need to make sure we continue to pray for her. And then the family of David Morris. He passed away, and that is the friend of Phil Pearson. So, from time to time, in youth, we do a thing called the one-sentence prayer. Everyone will go around and say one sentence for their part of the prayer. It's always humbled me, and it's also made me extremely proud hearing all of them call out to God. So since this is the community prayer time, I thought, well, let's get everybody involved. So what I would like to do is, if you're interested, you will just sit right there. And then you would just raise your hand kindly, and I'll just point to you, and you'll have a chance to say the prayer. It can be something as simple as, I just want to thank God for my family. I want to thank my parents for not I want to thank God for my parents not killing me for not cleaning my room. I want to thank God for this church. It can be something simple, or you can say, I need prayer for this person. Or you can even raise your hand and just say unspoken so that we know who we need to be praying for. Whether you're young, less young, Andy's age, it doesn't really matter. All are welcome to join in. Even if everybody does this prayer, then Andy's preaching. We'll still be out by 11:45. So we're good. If you're watching online, you have it easy. All you got to do, type in the comment section a one-sentence prayer. If someone says something similar to what you were going to say, that's okay. You still say what's on your heart and what God has put on there as well. So at this time, we're going to have music playing, and I just kindly just, you know, listen to what God's saying to you, and if you'll just raise your hand, I'll point at you, and hopefully this goes over okay. If not, then I won't be here next week up here. So, but anyway, just let's go to God in prayer, and then as the hands stop raising, then I'll close this in a short prayer at the end. God, you are so compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abundant in love and faithfulness. We as a church are so thankful for this, for those characteristics that you display constantly. You heard from your people praising you, worshiping you, and needing you. I pray that they feel your presence in any situation they are going through. We love you, God, and in his precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Andrew, it worked. It was great to hear all the different voices, young voices, older voices. It was great hearing the voices of people in prayer. So it's good to be with you today as we share together today. Scripture I want to share with you this morning comes from Romans. I'm still in Romans. I'll be there for another couple of weeks, for better or for worse. So we'll just go ahead and do that. But I'm sharing with you this morning Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about or obsess about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Very potent passage of scripture today, thought-provoking passage that I want to share with you today. So I'm glad, I hope you heard that. I want to sound educated this morning, so as opened up, I don't have the usual cute story that I usually tell, because I want to sound like I was smart and knew something, so you know better. But I'm going to talk a little bit about St. Augustine. Now, some of you will probably start thinking about Florida now, and you won't hear another word I'm saying, but I want to talk about St. Augustine. I decided to read a little bit this week about his confessions, the Confessions of St. Augustine, an interesting book. I was trying to find some quotes I could share, searching for tidbits to make me sound like I know something. I thought I might purchase a briefcase and become an expert on Augustine. Thought about that. A noted preacher author wrote this about the Confessions, written about 397 through 400. Wrote this about this passage, this book. This is possibly the greatest autobiography ever written. Augustine's Confessions. Possibly the greatest autobiography ever written. To begin with, it's a very human book. A very human book. It was written by a man we call a saint, and yet he called himself a sinner. He called himself a sinner. Augustine tells us candidly about this, about his disappointments and failures. He talks about those. He talks about his search for truth. And he talks about his sins, his difficulties. That's what confessions are. They're bearing our soul. And sometimes we say, well, I don't believe I would have told that. But sometimes they're confessions. They're things that come out. And he shares a number of different things. He then writes about his meeting with God. He talks about his sinful lifestyle and meeting with God and the freedom he found, the life he found in him. He shares the pain of his restless, empty heart. And then he shares the joys of a heart filled with God. He wrote the words in his confessions that are so important to determine sooner than later, these words, "Thou madest us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it reposes in thee." A very interesting passage, but this is an obvious reference to what was often associated with the saint called the God-shaped void. The God-shaped void. Our hearts have a vacancy that only God can fill. We have a vacancy in our heart that only God can fill. And we search and we try to find things to fill that void, but we can't find it. Only we find it in God. He was one miserable human being. Augustine was. Very miserable human being, trying to fill a void in his heart and his life. It was something very difficult for him to do. He was one who searched for satisfaction in the temporal things, tried to find satisfaction in life in the things that didn't last. Unbridled pleasure, a rowdy lifestyle, sinful, godless living, living selfishly, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as we might call it today. Let me put Augustine in terms that you can understand, or at least folks of my generation can understand, and you can explain it to the kids. You can explain it to them. He was a rolling stone before the stones rolled. He was a rolling stone before the stones rolled. I can't get no satisfaction. Though I try, though I try, though I try, though I try. I can't get no, da-na-na. I can't get no satisfaction. He couldn't find any satisfaction in life. It was that terrible for him. He couldn't find satisfaction. In his rebelliousness, Augustine's mother, Monica, continually prayed for him. Prayed for him. You know how mamas are. They love their children. She prayed that he would find a way around his wayward ways. She thought of him in thoughts and prayers. I hurt for my kids. I hurt for my kids. But my wife tells me, I'm not a mama. She says, you don't know what hurting is for when you hurt for your kids. She says it's a different thing. So I can't say I know how she feels, but she hurt for her kids. She hurt for Augustine. Let me explain Augustine in some terms my generation can understand as well, and you can explain it to the kids. He was Merle Haggard before Merle Haggard was beat up by bad decisions. He was Merle Haggard. Merle could have related to this tainted saint with these words. One and only rebel child from a family meek and mild. Mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my bad learning, all my Sunday learning, toward the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. I turned 21 in prison, doing life with no parole. No one could steer me right from wrong. But Mama tried. Mama tried. Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves me only to blame, because Mama tried. Ed, can you sing that? Augustine's mama tried. She tried and tried. She pled with him. She prayed for him. She worried about him. He broke her heart. And her prayers were answered in 386 when Augustine was changed by Jesus Christ in these words of Paul I read today. These words in Jesus Christ, the power of God, changed him. Let us not walk in revelry or drunkenness, in immorality, in shamelessness, in contention, and in strife. Let's not do these things, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ as a man puts on a garment. Put on Christ. Put away these other things and put on Christ. And stop living a life in which your first thought is to gratify the desires of the Christless human nature. It's not all about me and my desires and what I want. My prayer today is that these words might change us, that Almighty God through the Apostle Paul might change us through these words. Let's pray together. God, change us. Make us more Christ-like every day. Make us more like Jesus. Father, you come out to meet us. I pray that we'll meet you halfway at least, that we'll make the move to be more Christ-like every day. We want to change. We want to be better. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. The first thing the Apostle Paul says is this. He essentially says, time's a-wasting. Time's a-wasting. It's time to get right with God. In Romans 13, 8 through 10, Paul is addressing the continuing debt that people owe, that the believer owes to God and to others, a debt that we owe. He said, when it comes to loving others, we're never paid up. We're never paid up when it comes to loving other people. We can't say, I've done it enough, it's over with. We have a continuing debt. He talks about that. He said, do not commit adultery. He said, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and any other laws that apply. And they're summed up in the law of love. These are all summed up in the law of love, because love doesn't do harm to its neighbor. Love doesn't harm its neighbor. And then he says, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Let's pick it up in verse 11. And do this, this being love which is manifested in righteousness and morality. Do this, understanding the present time. Understanding the present time. The time has come for you to awaken from your slumber, because salvation is nearer than when you first believed. Salvation is coming. It's nearer than when we first believed. The night is almost over. The day is almost here. Urgency. Urgency. Paul, like most Christians of his day, thought Jesus was coming back soon. He thought he was on his way back. In fact, he was rather disappointed that he didn't come back sooner. He was supposed to come back. He said he would. He and others thought they would experience this victorious return. They thought it would happen. But there's an urgency in the message. An urgency. Wake up. Time's wasted. We can use that as a scare tactic and say, all right, you better get your stuff in order because Jesus is coming back. But it's an urgency. It's an urgent message. The fact is, Jesus did not return in his lifetime. Did not return. No one knows when history will end on this earth. We don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know when the last day will be. We don't know when our last day on this earth will be. But the message is just as urgent today. Wake up. Make your life right with God. Make your life right with God through Jesus Christ, because time's a wasting. We think about our lives a lot of times, and the times we've wasted time doing things we could have been doing otherwise for Christ. We all have those things in our mind and our life. My pastor during my younger years had the sense of urgency, had a tremendous sense of urgency. He wanted the congregation to have it as well. He tried to instill that in us. He tried to make sure we knew that Jesus was coming back or that we would die one of these days. And he scared me to death. He scared me to death. He knew all about heaven. He would share words about heaven and talk about the wonderful place it would be. And I thought it would be a great place. And I was certain he knew everything about hell. He knew everything about it. In fact, I thought he'd taken a road trip there one time. He knew all about hell. He could tell you every square inch of it. I think he'd been on an educational venture there. He did not want anyone to go to this place because it was so terrible. A place of separation from the goodness of God. He didn't want anyone to go there. There's that sense of urgency there. Are we that urgent? Are we that urgent? We want to see people go to the place of separation. And it was his goal to make sure no one went there if he could do something about it. If he could have anything to do with it, he wanted to make sure no one went to that place of separation from God. This was an urgency that Augustine's mother had. She had that urgency as well. She loved her son. She loved her son. And it broke her heart to see him living the rebellious lifestyle. It broke her heart. It breaks her heart to see someone do that. She didn't want him to leave this earth without making peace with God. She was worried he might leave without making peace with God, and she wanted him to make that peace. This is the same urgency the Apostle Paul shares. The same urgency he shares in the Scriptures. He didn't want to see those in his day venture into eternity without God in Christ. He didn't want to see that. He wanted to see people come to know him in a special way. And this same sense of urgency even applies today. We're not guaranteed another day. We aren't guaranteed another day. And don't make this a cause for fear. Don't make it a cause for fear. I'm not trying to scare everyone, but prepare yourself. Today, prepare yourself. Make things right with your Maker. Make things right with God while there's time. And then live in the confident hope that Jesus is taking care of your sin. He's taking care of it. Because of the blood of Christ, our sin is taken care of. We don't carry those burdens with us anymore. He's taking care of it. And you'll spend eternity in the presence of Almighty God. That's a wonderful thing. That's good to know. But we don't need to be so heavenly minded that we don't do any earthly good. We don't need to have heaven as our only focus. Life can be lived today with a new focus and a new purpose. It can be lived with a new purpose, a new focus in life. Whatever happens in this life becomes an education. It becomes an education in our life. Teaches us to live life to the fullest, the good and the bad. The good and the bad, the successes and the failures, the joys and the disappointments are all a part of life. But because of God and Christ, we have the power to overcome those things, to live in this life. We learn that Paul's words in Philippians are true. I can do all things through Christ or through him who strengthens me. We can do all things because of the power of God in us. We can do that. Time's a wasting. Time's a wasting. Is it time? Next is Paul's exhortation to change. You have to change. This stuff you're doing isn't working. Have you ever had a time in your life when you said, this just isn't working? This isn't working. I've tried all these different things. It's just not working. Augustine had that time. He said, it's not working. It's not working. And he had to come to that conclusion himself. His mother prayed for him. His mother probably had some words to share with him in face to face. But still, it had to be his decision. We have to decide, is this life working for me or not? Is it working for me? I have all the things I want. I'm enjoying all the pleasures of life, but life is not working. Life can be a struggle between our old sinful nature and our new nature. We have a new nature when we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, a new nature. But the old nature still struggles with us. It's not over with when we accept Christ. The old nature still struggles with us. We have lapses at times. We have lapses in our lives, and occasionally we develop some sinful habits. It happens, even for Christians, and we miss the mark. We're not doing as we should. Sooner or later, we learn that the old sinful lifestyle doesn't work. It doesn't work. Paul said he was to those he was writing to, behave yourself. That's the Andy Oliver interpretation. Behave yourself. Behave yourself. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. What does he mean by that? Behave as in the daytime. In other words, behave like people are watching. Like people are watching. And they are. They're wanting to see what the Christian is going to do in this world. They want to see that. Behave like people are watching. The children are watching. The children are watching. Behave decently in the daytime. And God certainly is watching. God's watching. That's the scary part. God's watching us, we think. Put in mama terms, would you want Jesus to catch you doing that? That's what my mama would say. Do you want Jesus to catch you doing that? Paul shares six categories of sin. I'll not go in depth because I'll get embarrassed here. But there's some sins we need to look at and talk about. First, there's that word that got me in trouble a couple of years ago. The NIV defines the Greek word komos as orgies. Now we've got silence. Do not be a part of these. I was relieved for obvious reasons to find out that it also meant rowdiness and revelry. Rowdiness and revelry. Komos, the group of friends who accompanied a victorious competitor home from an athletic event. The Greek. We understand that. We understand that. Later it began to mean a rowdy group, a kind of like a riot. Don't make a scene. Don't be a nuisance, is what that's saying. In other words, when your team wins a ball game, don't burn down something or don't go turn over a car somewhere. That's not what it's about. Next, there's drunkenness. Drunkenness. The scriptures share with us this. Do not be drunk with wine. Do not be drunk with wine. Don't make alcohol your God or your means of solving problems. That's not the solution. Drunkenness only makes the problem worse. Next, Paul talks about immorality. I'll defer to my trusty friend William Barclay here. The Greek word is koite. Koite. Koite literally means bed. In it, this meaning the desire for the forbidden bed. The desire for the forbidden bed. The NIV describes sin as sexual immorality. Sex is king in our society today. It causes a quiet hush to come over the church. Sex is king in our society. It's part of everything. It sells products. We use it to sell products. And it's a form of recreation. For a good time, call this number. It's king. It's even an obsession with the church. We've determined that's the one big sin in life. In the church, for many, it's the tier one sin. You have your tier one drugs and tier one and two or three drugs. You have your tier one sin, and it's sex. Sexuality is everything in society and in the church. It's all we think about, and our society is obsessed with it. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I hate what sex has become in our society and even in our church. It's an obsession. Beware of the sin of sexual immorality. Beware of that sin of sexual immorality. As out of touch as it may seem today, seek sexual purity. Seek sexual purity. Closely related to this is shamelessness. Shamelessness. Don't be a person who, in the name of transparency, could care less what he does in public. Who could care less what he or she does in public. In the name of being honest, exhibits himself in horrific ways. Louis Grizzard was probably not a model Christian, but he's one of my favorite writers, Louis Grizzard. He said this regarding shamelessness one time. You know, Elvis Presley used to be known for his moving on stage. Elvis. He said, Elvis may have shook his pelvis, but he never showed it to anybody. Elvis may have shook his pelvis, but he never showed it to anybody. Shamelessness. Shamelessness. We don't care anymore. We don't care who is hurt. We don't care what kind of example is set, what type of role model he or she is. I'm reminded here of Paul's other words. Other words. To show concern for those weaker brothers who may be observing our actions and not be a stumbling block. And that's another sermon for another day. I'll do it probably next week. Are you a stepping stone or a stumbling block? We worry about shame because we feel it could affect our self-esteem or someone's self-esteem. I think sometimes we need to be ashamed. We need to be ashamed. It's therapeutic. Another sin Paul refers to is this. Now he gets to meddling. Now he gets down to where we can all say, well, I've had this happen to me. Do not be contentious. Do not be contentious. The desire for power and prestige. As Mr. T on the A-team used to say, I pity the man who, for the person who's contentious. I pity the man who for the one caught in the sin of contention. I pity the man who surpasses him or her, looks better than him or her, and makes me look like second place. I pity that person. Basically, self is number one. Self is number one. And the love of others and their good fortune is not tolerated. We can't stand to see somebody else do well. That's contentiousness. This is sinful behavior. And finally, Paul addresses the sin of envy and jealousy. Envy and jealousy. Do you have a hard time being happy when someone gets something you don't have? Do you have a hard time being happy when someone gets something you don't have? You're guilty. You're guilty of sin, envy, and jealousy. Do you ever catch yourself saying in your mind, of course, they have all the good fortune. That person has all the good fortune. What about me? What about me? You're guilty. If you discover that the blessings of others are a curse to you and you can't be content with what you have, you're guilty of this. That's the sins. That's not an exhaustive list. Find a perfect person out there and we'll find some more. They'll tell us a few more. Those are the sins he talks about. So there you have it. There you have it. Time is flying by. Paul is telling us time is flying by. It's going fast. And we're guilty of sin. And we're good at it. We're good at it. All of us are. We're good at sinning. Now let's look at some good news. Let's look at some good news. And I'm glad we're looking at good news because I'm happy and I'm tired now. We're people with a free will. You have a free will and with an option. You're not without options on this situation. You're not stuck in sin. Verse 14, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. What an option. Change your clothes. Change your clothes. Be clothed with Jesus. Listen to his voice. Take the time to listen to his voice. Do we have time to do that? Are we too busy to hear what he's saying to us? What's he saying to you today? Listen to his voice. Follow his example. That's why we have the Gospels. It tells about the atoning work of God in Christ as he died for our sins, but he also tells us how to live. Read Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. That tells you how to live. Follow his example. Be the presence of Jesus in the world. Be the presence of Jesus in the world. Let people see Jesus in you. Be the presence of Christ in the world. Next, change your focus. Change your focus. It's not about sin and how we get away with it. It's not how to get away with all the sins we can get away with or how we can look Christ-like and still be a slave to sin. It's not all about that. That's deceptive. It's about being a genuine Christian in the world. And change your purpose. It's not about self anymore. Of all things, it's not about you and me. It's about God and Christ. It's not about getting what is mine and what I'm entitled to. That seems to be a big part of our society nowadays. What am I entitled to? What can I get? What do you owe me? It's about what we can give. And your purpose is to worship. When we come here together, to worship. I worship this morning as I listen to Gail. You play that music and as I heard the songs. I worship as I heard the song that Nicole sang. I also worshiped as we prayed together. Andrew, thank you for that. Thank you. We prayed together and it was a good worship experience as I heard the voices of people praying. Worship. To serve. We come here to church and we need to leave here and serve people. We've got a job to do. And exhibit Christ in the world around us. That's what we have to do. That's our purpose. It's about using the gifts and abilities God has given you for the task God calls you to. Do you need these new clothes Paul's talking about? Do you need the new clothes? Have you realized life is not working out right now and time's a wasting? Have you realized that? Maybe God's speaking to you this morning. Maybe he's saying something to you. Maybe he's sharing with you something. He has the power to make you a new person. He can make you a new person. He can make me a new person. He can give you a clean slate and a fresh new approach to life. Is he calling you today? Is he speaking to you today? Is he asking you to follow him today? You may want to say yes. You may want to say yes. Christ paid for our sin. He paid it all. Leave them behind and follow. Let's pray together. God, perhaps you've spoken to me today and you've spoken to this congregation. I pray, Father, today if we need to make some changes in our life, we'll do so. We're not stuck. We're not determined to be like we always are. We can change. And you can work in our lives. We know, God, that you can do wonderful things and great things in our lives. We just look to you for guidance and direction and give our life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, speak to us today. Help us, Lord, to be the Christians you call us to be. Give us a clean slate. Give us a new heart. Give us some new clothes that we can live out in the world as followers of Christ. If there's someone who needs to make a decision today, I pray that they might make that decision to follow Christ today. In his name I pray. Amen.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line, with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Thank God for the daylight. Long time in the dark, felt good saying goodbye, waking up to a brand new start. And if you're sleeping like I used to be, in a grave that holds you tight, there's a Savior calling, promising a brand new life. He's saying, wake up, sleeper, open your eyes, oh sinner, arise. Cast at the door, wake up, sleeper, come to the light. Christ is alive, death don't live here anymore.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down.
Rise up and come out of that grave. Rise up in that amazing grace. Close the sleep, won't you come away? Come away, come away. Rise up and come out of that grave. Rise up in that amazing grace. Come away. Called free.
congregation, we're glad you joined us this morning for worship. I want to remind you that your deacon of the week is Andrew Day, who led us in our community at prayer this morning. If you have any needs or concerns this week, you can reach out to him if you can't reach anyone at the church. Would you join me as we pray together? God, we thank you for another day. God, another chance for us to gather as your people and to worship you. God, each week as we come into this place, may we not take for granted the fact that we can do this so freely. May we remember why we gather here. May we remember why we come and we worship, God. It's because of your immense love that you have for us, that you sent your son Jesus to die for us so that we might have victory over sin and death and, God, look towards eternal life with you. God, as we go throughout this week, may we put behind our past all the things that have held us down, God, and may we run towards you and to your calling, God, that we might further your kingdom, not only here in Shelby, but God, in this world. Thank you for this body of believers called Poplar Springs. Be with us, God, as we journey from this place. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great Sunday.